Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I hope all are blessed and all is well. Stay tuned. After the song, I Am the Treasure.
From the day I was born,
everyone. This is your host, Minister Jay Miller, along with my co-host. We have on here Apostle Louis Young. What's going on, sir?
Grace and peace to everybody. Hope everybody's having a good night. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, my brother? Listen, man, I was sitting here and I was thinking, man, I was like, you know what? There's so many platforms that people have that they abuse. They use it for the wrong reason in the wrong way. And I'm so glad that the platform that we have here is not afraid to deal with controversial issues and issues that may seem difficult to talk about, but everyone is thinking about it, but they just don't know how to, you know, say it on an open scale. That's what I like about the show here, man. We're willing to hear the negative or the positive, but without losing who we are and what we stand for. You understand what I'm talking about, Apostle Young?
Yes, I do. Just to chime in on what you're saying, to listeners that might be listening to the broadcast or listen to previous broadcasts, basically basically what Minister Miller is saying is that this here radio broadcast is going to deal with issues and different things that you might not hear expressed the way it's going to be expressed on this radio show in somebody's church. We're going to talk about things on Dirty Church Radio that we have personally researched. We have personally went around and asked questions and asked about topics that we're talking about bringing on the show. And we have people that have expressed to us some concerns and some questions that they have that they might not have the as you would say on the street, the guts to even step in the four walls of a church and say, but that don't change the fact that they have the questions. And these questions and these topics are going to be brought up on this radio station. A lot of them might not have too much to do with church. Some of them, for the majority, is on a spiritual nature or in a spiritual context, and we're going to explore them all. So we want all faith backgrounds, if you're listening, don't be afraid to come on this radio station and make your statements, chime in on whatever the topic is. Feel free. We're not against any religions, any faiths. Feel free to come and express your thoughts on the topic. You won't be condemned. We just pray that you have an open mind, as we, the hosts, have an open mind.
Yes. And the thing, the dirt that's on Dirty Church Radio, it's not contaminated dirt. This is good soil. So we believe on here, whatever seeds of thoughts or ideas or issues that you drop into this dirt, on this Dirty Church Radio, that something positive will grow out of it. Like my grandmama used to say, eat the meat and spit out the bones. So we don't expect anyone to eat anything and choke off of it. We want to get to the meat of the issue. We want to get to the meat of the subjects that we're talking about. And whether we agree or disagree, something will grow out of it. You know, a lot of times when a seed is planted, you don't see the flower immediately. It takes time. And we look at it like this. For every episode, there's more watering. There's more pruning. We're talking about conversations of life. We all got issues. Apostle Young, we're all dealing with different issues in life. We all come from different backgrounds. And we all handle our issues differently. Some of us handle it in ways where it make our issue even worse. Some of us handle it with more wisdom that lightens the burden. But we can still learn from each other. And that's the thing. If you've been down a terrible road and you're not willing to warn your brother or your sister or your neighbor or mankind about that road, on here we want you to talk about that road that you've been down. We accepting testimonies on this talk show right here. What has God done for you? Or if you don't even think God done anything for you, who talk to us. Let us know who you thought did it for you. Was it just your own doing? Talk to us. This is Dirty Church Radio. We can handle it. We can handle it. And another thing, a lot of times, there may a lot of the listeners, you may be listening to us, and you may hear us get excited. You may hear our voices, you know, go to different octaves and things like that, but it's all in love. Every host on here, we all love each other. We all have a mutual respect for one another, but we're going to get into the depths of the issue. We ain't backing down, and we want to find out, what are you thinking? What is on your mind out there in radio land right now? How is this world, this wicked world, affecting you? You know? Are you living in a gated community where you're not being affected by what's going on? Well, how is it behind the gate? We want to know. Talk to us. Talk to us here on Dirty Church Radio. And listen, we're waiting for one of our other hosts, Aaron, the devil's advocate, Spradley, to come on the show. But right now, I just want to let y'all know, if y'all been looking at the computer, tonight's topic is, do preachers cater their messages towards women more than men? Do preachers cater their messages towards women more than men?
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Young, before I let you talk about, before you go a little further, I just wanted to read this little thing. It made me laugh a little bit when I read it, but it's deep. It's kind of deep right here, man. It talks about, it says, love songs and feminine spirituality. An example of a feminization of the church is its music. Typical praise songs refer to Jesus as a Christian lover and praise his beauty and tenderness. Rarely do they praise his justice or his strength, or refer to him as the head of an army leading his church into spiritual battle, like outward Christian soldiers. What is your take on that statement, brother?
Well, I'm gonna. It's funny you read that, because I was thinking about the same. After you told me today what the topic was gonna be. Wow! This is amazing. When I thought the same thing, I started thinking about love songs. I started thinking about how, to a certain degree, man, we and don't get me wrong, I'm a musician as well as a preacher, so I love good music. I love good worship song, but we have genderized the male strength. The male has always been the strength of anything. In marriage, when you look at strength, the male is the symbol for strength. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I said that, because the church and God are like a bride and a groom.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, what is happening, Minister Miller, there's a spirit of softness that over the last 10 to 15 years that has crept into the church, and everything now is just soft, 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 easy, 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 sweet,
so,
sweet, sweet.
So on this show, on Dirty Church Radio, we're going to call that spirit the spirit of milk toast.
Okay. Okay. The spirit of milk toast.
Milk toast, which means timid.
Okay, has crept into the church, and wow, to the fact where, okay, and don't get me wrong, I got to put this public service announcement and disclaimer up. I don't have anything against women pastors, all right?
Yes.
I don't have anything against women having authority in the church, all right? But I'm going to say some things tonight that might kick against some women's perspective on their role in the church. All right. The bottom line is, the topic is, do preachers cater their messages towards females? All right.
More than men.
All right. Number one, psychologically, it has been proven that when it comes to givers, women are more subjecting to giving faster than a man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So to answer your question, do I believe that? I believe that, yes, some preachers cater their messages towards women because they want their offerings and the money portions of their service to be great. So what they do is they preach messages that empower women
and disenfranchises men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's been proven psychologically that a man is quicker to be reluctant to giving than a woman. As a matter of fact, and oftentimes it's the woman that convinces the man to give that big offering.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is, and it's also proven that more women attend church than men as well. So, and I have to be fair and with my statements because of the listeners. But for the most part, if you go to a church, rarely will you go to a church where there's either a balance between the ratio of men and women. It's rare to see that even balance of a ratio with men and women. 9 times out of 10, when you go to church, you're going to see more women in the church than you see men. Now, why is that? That's a whole other topic that we might need to open up, but I'll give you a couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main reasons why a lot of men do not go to church is because when they go to church, they're made to feel like being a man is wrong and being soft and feminine is right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Mhm.
It's wrong for a man to be a man. Stand for what's right in his home, be the protector of his home, be the breadwinner in his home, if that means he can't relate to his feminine side. And I don't know about nobody else, but if I go to a church where the pastor or the leader of the church makes me feel bad for being who God created me, then I got a question if I'm supposed to be at that church.
Okay.
A preacher should be able to preach a generic general message to where the person that's receiving the message put gender on the message. Do you understand what I just said?
Repeat that one more time.
Messages that are preached should be preached in a way that the listener puts gender on the message to fit themselves.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
All right. You should never preach a message that is geared toward a specific gender, whether it's male or female. Now, there's
okay.
an exception to the rule to that. Because, see, some churches still have Men's Day. Some churches still have Women's Day. Then you have Father's Day. Then you have Mother's Day. There's exceptions to this rule. But generically, when you're preaching to a congregation of people, you should make your message to where it's not genderized. It's
okay.
a message that will make the person that's receiving the message put themselves in the place of the message. Then that makes the message have a gender, because the person that's receiving the message puts themselves in the message, and that makes the message cater to their specific gender.
Okay.
But unfortunately, you have a lot of pulpit pimping preachers that, for whatever reason, want to preach a message for popularity with the women. Yeah. Am I going to sit here tonight and say that that doesn't happen? I would be remiss if I sat here and said that it didn't happen, because it happens all the time. And 9 times out of 10, if you want to know, if you go to a male church and the women outnumber the men 10 to 1, guarantee you, if you do the research, that the pastor, in most cases, is sleeping with some of the women in church.
Wow.
See, now, you we said this is dirty church, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talking about issues. We talking about things that some brothers...
That are really happening.
We're talking about things that some brothers, you know, might be sitting at home, and he felt as if that the church where him and his wife attends, he might have got a vibe from the message that the preacher preached that made him feel as if the preacher is trying to preach a message to in other words, he's being flirtatious in his delivery.
Wow.
And the brother might have picked that up, you know. The brother might not be considering himself prophetic or prolific. All he know is it's something in his spirit making him feel like the pastor is preaching a flirtatious type of word to the women in the church. Then he comes home and he tells his wife, says, "Listen, I don't know what it is. I don't know if I want to say God is telling me this, but I feel that this pastor is preaching, and he's preaching and saying things towards the women in the church. And then I don't like how it's a certain way I'm seeing him shake the hands of the women, and it just makes me feel uncomfortable." Well, I'm saying to some of you sisters out there, you should take heed to what your covering is telling you. Because at the end of the day, your husband is your covering. And if your husband is feeling these vibes, 9 times out of 10, he's not feeling these vibes for no reason.
But you know what they'll say? They might say, and I'm just, you know, just making a statement here. Some may be like, "Well, my husband, he doesn't go to church, so he doesn't understand the things of the spiritual. So how could he discern something like that?" Which my leader is considered to be spiritual, but my husband is not spiritual. So how could he discern?
Well, I'm gonna answer that like this. I don't care. And I hope and pray I got some brothers that's listening that's going to relate to what I'm getting ready to say. I don't care how often a brother goes to church. If that man is getting up every day going to work, that man is coming home when he get off work, if that man is spending time with his wife and his kids, doing what he has to do as a man, and you know, woman, that this man is an honorable man, even though he might not go to church as often as you think he should, if that man is telling you what he's telling you, you should at least consider what he's saying, because he is still the head of your home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about who's the most spiritual, who goes to church the most. Maybe because of his lack of going, he can see what you can.
It's crazy. I have actually seen in church before where a woman who always went to church, who was considered, you know, a church woman, and her husband always stayed home. But then when he finally came to church and he began to start giving his life to God, and she starts seeing the change in his life, and him growing spiritually, or he's fighting to grow, she began to get upset because she was getting into a place where she could no longer point the finger and magnify his wrongs.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
So, like, from that angle, all right, now I'm in church and I'm growing, and now I'm becoming not just a man, but now I'm becoming the God man.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're bucking against the God man because you really want me back where I was, because by you being the spiritual one made you feel like you had more power in that area. You didn't want me to grow. You wanted me to stay where I was, because like now you did not want to come under that authority.
You
know what I'm saying? A lot of times people, they might pray for a change in a person, but then when that person begins to change and God start working on them, it's almost like envy starts to set in.
And what,
you know what
is,
I'm saying?
What it
and
is.
What wind up happening is, eventually, the husband got discouraged and left back out into the world.
Well,
because when he finally came, he wasn't. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Now, first, let me interject on the woman in this scenario.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, any woman, a real woman, because see, there's a difference in a woman and a real woman. A real woman that's about her husband wants to see her husband do better. Period. Do
mm-hmm.
better, whether it's on the job, whether it's in the workplace, or whether it's in at the house, or whether it's at the church. All right? Any woman that has a problem with her husband, spiritual eyes becoming open so that now he can walk in his authority through the auspices of the power of God, that's a woman that cannot be trusted. Sorry, because she's operating under the influence of the spirit of Jezebel. That's a woman that used spirituality to keep control over her husband.
Wow. So she wants to keep him Ahab.
She wants to keep him Ahab. And believe it or not, see, we're here now, so we might as well go. Believe it or not, a lot of women leaders use that same spirit, even in their churches.
Wow. And this statement is not made. This is not all women leaders.
That's right. Not all
so,
women leaders. I know several women bishops, women apostles, that, and they are married, and they treat their husbands like their husbands. When he's at home, he's in charge. So let's not, I don't want nobody to take what I'm saying out of context here.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that there are women that have an issue being subjective under the authority of a man. And they will use any tactic that is available to them to keep that man under the subjection of their spiritual authority. And that is not the way God intended for this thing to be. The man is responsible for the spirituality of the home, not the woman. And I'm gonna say this, until we as a people learn what our prospective roles are in the home as well as the church, the church is gonna always be diluted with their power.
Hold on.
There has to be order in the church.
We have our brother Aaron, the devil's advocate, Spradley, about to come on. Here he goes. What's going on, Brother Spradley?
Hello, brothers. How's it going?
Good, man. Good, good. Have you been listening on a little bit of the conversation?
Yeah, I've been listening for a while. You guys were actually going in. Enjoying the talk that you guys were having.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let me quickly say this. Again, we are not browbeating no woman. But it's about divine order. And if we don't start talking about divine order and getting things in the proper perspective, even in our own personal homes, we're going to be living beneath our privileges. Because God has always ordained for the spirituality of the home to be the responsibility of the man. So that means you brothers that might be listening to us on the radio, we got to take our place. That means you got to get up. You got to be more responsible for the spirituality of your home. That means you can't be sending your wife to church by herself, because at the end of the day, she's going to a church, but you're still her covering.
Mm.
So you can't get mad at the woman. You sending her to church, but you staying at home. Then when she come home with all these ideas, with all this new stuff she talking, it's the reason why it's happening is because you're not in your proper place. And we can't sit here and blame everything on a woman. The men got to get up, turn the TV off, buy you a DVR, record the football game, brother.
Wow.
Record the football game, but take some responsibility in your home and set the tone for the spirituality of your house.
Well, check this out, right? I'm gonna read another statistic. it talks about men's ministry in church is the lowest priority. It says another example of feminization is a lack of ministries for men. Women have Bible studies, prayer groups, support groups, teas, retreats, and of course children have a plethora of programs. But some churches offer only an annual retreat for men. Yet this is the opposite of what the way Jesus did ministry, according to Monroe. He said Jesus focused on men, knowing that women and children would follow. According to a quoted statistic from Promise Keepers, when a mother comes to faith in Christ, her family follows 34% of the time. But when a father comes to faith, his family follows 93% of the time.
Wow. Okay. Y'all hear
now,
that?
Just looking at that percentage, that's a big margin. Like, that's a great difference.
Well, you know
you
why?
Know what I mean?
You know why? You know
Talk
why?
To me.
Because God always instituted the man to be the leader of the house. The man sets the tone. A woman was never meant to set no spiritual tone in the house. That's why you heard the statistics. One was in the 30% percentile. One was in the 90% percentile. So you tell me, which one was the greatest? When the man was leading, you got 90% of families following. When a woman was leading, you had
34%. 34%.
Brothers, we got to take our place in society, we got to take our place in our homes, and we got to take our place back in the church. And until we do that, you're going to see the random murders that's going on in the city I was born and raised in, because this stuff is going on because of the lack of visible men. Jesus did what he did during his time because he had men available to him. Where are the available men? Now, you want to know why there's not a lot of programs in the church to cater to men? Because there's no available men to cater the ministries around.
Well, check this. It's something you said that, right? It says many churches emphasize Jesus' soft teaching, like his love and his desire to save. And they ignore the doctrines of sin and hell, according to Dr. Poodles. But men dislike liberal Christianity, a mild religion of progress and enlightenment, as opposed to a battle between good and evil. Men want to expend their lives for a great cause, even if it involves risk. Men are more attracted to religion if it is presented as a quest and a venture or a heroic exploit. They want something challenging, bracing, and demanding.
No more passive church, man. No more passive church. That's what he's saying.
Wow. So, our brother, the devil's advocate, Do you feel as though the church have been milquetoast?
Do I feel as though what?
The church has been milquetoast.
Milquetoast? What does that mean? I'm sorry, I don't know the term.
Means timid. Become timid. Everything is put it this way. Men, a lot of men reject the soft tones of church and want to be able to express their masculine side in worship or in praise. But when you go to church, it's not presented that way.
So what was your question to me?
Do you believe the church of what we've seen, not saying every church, but the concept of church, the reason why men normally would stay home is because they feel as though the church has become feminine, soft.
I believe in, for some men, probably, because the church is catered around women. A lot of times the preacher's message kind of caters toward women. It's very, you know, compassionate, talking about love. And like you guys said earlier, the praise songs, they're more love songs. Even the decor of the church is attired to women with very bright colors, flowers everywhere, purple and pink and orange, very, very bright colors. And a lot of men, like Apostle said, would rather stay home and watch the game, especially if your life doesn't necessarily revolve around church and you don't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I do think, I don't think that it's become soft, soft in the sense that men have lost their roles and women has, you know, have taken up the men's role. I just think that more women go to church, and because more women go to church, and 9 times out of 10, men are leaders of the church, men have to cater to the majority of the church. So, in that regard, a lot of men fall subject to being in a very feministic church. In some ways, it's beneficial. In other ways, it isn't.
Would you say bold leadership attracts men?
Boldly, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the Million Man March, that attracted a lot of men because, you know, it actually dictated leadership and strength. And I believe men are attracted to that. Also, you know, during the time of Malcolm X, I believe Malcolm X had a whole lot more followers than Martin Luther King, especially men followers, because of the role that Malcolm X took. It was a very, very strong, dominant role. I'm quite sure myself as well as you guys can think of so many other instances where, you know, men were leaders, and because of that strong leadership, other men followed. Mm-hmm.
You know, some, I'm sitting here, right, and I'm like, yo, you know what, I believe that if a church doesn't have, like, a strong male presence or influence, that's not a reason for men to stop going. I think it should be even a more greater reason for them to go so they can show what a man is. So I think we might look and see what we don't like or what we don't, you know, see going on, but it has to start with you. What can you bring to the table? What manhood can you bring to the church? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but that's if that's what a particular church wants. If a particular church wants more men inside of their church, I think that's what they go for. But some churches don't necessarily look for that. Some churches may be ignorant, you know, to this whole idea of what we're talking about. I know before I actually heard of this type of topic, I've never even thought about it. I never even thought about how, you know, churches are more so catered to women. Like, that's something typical people, you know, in church don't necessarily think about. You know, like, we don't think that far into it. Me, personally, I can't talk for anybody else. But, until it was brought up to me, I didn't realize it.
Well, let me ask this question.
Okay.
All right. When was the last time now you seen a male worship leader that was not feminine?
Wow.
Even some of your popular worship leaders had a bit of female tendencies even when they're up worshiping.
Why is that?
I think because I know Jay, you asked me before about it was something concerning like shouting and dancing in church, but I can't necessarily remember what you said, but it was pertaining to, you know, being very effeminate when you dance in church or when people dance in church. But it's very, for some people, it's very, 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 for a male, it's a conscious thing. Like, when men praise God, it's a very conscious thing for us to keep our dance masculine, to keep our hand clap masculine. You know, we can't necessarily, you know, like it was cool for us when we were younger to play the tambourine, but the older we got, you know, we kind of strayed away from the tambourine. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because you've seen so many feminine men
the tambourine.
Play the tambourine.
Just, come on, Doc. Just listen. This dirty church, Doc.
Yeah, it's dirty church.
This dirty church.
No,
that's what
I'm
saying. You used to like to play the tambourine till you seen that feminine brother standing up there beating that tambourine with his wrist broke, and then that made you at the age of 12 say, I'm not playing the tambourine no more.
Yeah, because you didn't want your, especially because then you became the tambourine player.
Yeah, you a statistic now.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? But you know what? Those are things. And if you notice, and I know, and I see this in church, and I'm not, it's nothing wrong with this, but when you look at women in church, they are so, it's so much more easier for them to go into worship and to, and just let everything go.
Well, see, you gotta. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
It's like we think too much, like you said. Like everything is a conscious. Like we're looking at, especially if you came up with the concept of, listen, men don't cry. Man up.
Right,
you can take it,
especially in our culture, especially in the Black community. That's very, very prominent in Black community culture, where men are supposed to be strong and they're not supposed to cry. And it is something wrong with you if you cry. Man up. Absolutely right.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know what I mean. So like now, to actually do that, when you're taught that, you're on it. Like, all right, it's just me as a man. Is this the expression that God wants me to give him, or am I giving him off of what I'm mimicking from what I've seen? Like,
well,
as a man, what is supposed to be my true worship and praise? Is it supposed to look like what we've seen it look like in church?
I think, me personally, I think, like I said before, because our culture, the more of the Protestant culture of religion, which is, you know, the more of the charismatic Pentecostal movement, because women are more prominent in that move of religion than men are, the only thing young boys look up to are the women of the church. When it comes to praising, when it comes to, you know, a form of worship, you know, that's what we look at as examples, because there aren't a lot of men in the church. And
so
the men that are in the church are deacons who aren't no good, who usually cheat on their wives.
So we're taught our praise and our worship through women.
Yeah, well, you said earlier that when Jesus was ministering, it wasn't the way it is in our churches. And not only that, but you also have to imagine, step outside of our culture and, you know, our concept of worshiping God, and look at how other Christian sects worship God, Catholics and I've never been to a Seventh-day Adventist church or any of the other churches. How do they worship? Do they worship kind of the same? Is it kind of the same way?
At the Sabbath Church?
Yes.
Well, the Sabbath Church that I play at on Saturdays, it's more hymns being sung. It's more of a sermon being preached. It's not, you really don't see no one dancing.
Okay.
And I'm not saying they all of them are like that, but the one I'm at, it's more like, let's just sit there and just listen. Like, the crowd is quiet.
All right, now I have a question for. I mean, I've been to some, but I know Apostle Luke probably has been to more than I have. Have you been to a lot of Baptist churches, like the old time Baptist churches, especially the ones in the South? Okay, now. The ones, you know, the Baptist churches, how do their services usually go? Is it a lot of, you know, like worshiping and praising like we do, like in our churches, in the Pentecostal churches?
In the Baptist church, they worship and praise God on a very emotional and spiritual level,
mm-hmm.
within reason. And when I say within reason, the Baptist church know how to bring that thing right on in. And if it's definitely a move of God, you're going to know it.
Okay. Well, see, I mean, and I think that is like a prime example. Other churches where they don't focus on necessarily the emotional side of the service, usually – more men are seen there, because me growing up in Baptist churches, I see a lot more men in Baptist churches than I do in the Pentecostal churches that I was, you know, that I grew up in. And even in Catholic churches and, you know, in these other churches, they kind of stick to very basic worship hymns. They don't necessarily get into the Lord, I love you and I praise you and I worship, and they fall on their face, and, you know, they usually those services don't, you know, go like that. And those type of services have more men in it. And the ones that are more, you know, worshiping and praising and the love affair with God, you usually see those type of churches have a lot more women in it.
Because
wow.
Women are just made to be more emotional than men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And that's why I said a lot of times, and even you guys, I heard you guys say, that's why a lot of times preachers coming from our church, they cater more toward the women in their messages.
Wow. Listen to this. Social justice ministries that allow men to use their skills to help the weak and provide interaction with business and politics are especially appealing to men, right? It says mission trips are exciting for many men in his church because they offer challenge, adventure, and specific goals, like construction projects, where they can get their hands dirty and see a finished product, see a finished project at the end.
I definitely can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I know when I was young, and when, you know, when the men had retreats to go on, like, that was, like, all the male kids went, and all the guys went. Like, it was something to look forward to. You know what I'm saying? I think, whether or not we want to admit it, some people want to admit it or not, men are different from women. We think different. We react different. We do a lot of things different, And, I mean, we're just wired different than women are. And a lot of things that attract us are totally different from the things that attract women. And that's just evidence. And you can't
necessarily argue with
that. But
you know what's so crazy? You know what's so crazy? The powerful thing in that whole thing is the man is what attracts women.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying, Jay.
Yes,
if the man takes his place, it's going to bring the woman.
Yeah, I definitely believe that.
And then it takes a skilled pastor that's in the face of God that can seek after God's voice to deliver a message that's going to cater to everybody that's there, not just women, not just men. But everybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It takes a skilled pastor to know that.
If a pastor has 90% of his congregation women, naturally it's going to be catered towards the women because they are the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Yo.
I said it should be a level of balance.
Listen to this right here, and this is going to go right with what you said. Also, many church service opportunities are geared for women, like working in the nursery, teaching children, cooking, and hospitality. So many men feel their options are limited to ushering, directing parking, or sitting on a committee. activities that might not allow them to use their skills or challenge them.
Dag, the only thing we're good for in the church is to direct parking? Dag, that's beat up. But, yo, I mean, yo, you think about it. That's right. I mean, you know, it's so true. Like, you can't argue that. That's mad true.
That's deep,
and,
right there.
And not
man.
Only that, but then you also have to you have to understand this. And I'm quite sure Apostle Lou has seen this. You basically had your own church before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm quite sure that women, like when they do appreciation services, I'm quite sure there are more women being appreciated in the services than men are. Am I right?
That's right. And the reason why is because all of the positions are being held by women.
There it is. That's crazy.
Well, so you would say, so another problem could be when a man does come to church, it's kind of hard. So it's kind of hard for him to find his place in there.
And that's why a lot of them don't stay that long.
Because he can't find his place.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Dag.
It takes a leader that's in the vein of God to be able to come up with strategic ways for these men to find their outlet in the church.
You
that's
know what,
why
man?
You gotta kill traditionalism in the church, man.
This is deep. Like, we're having this conversation about this topic, right? But like the stuff I'm hearing, it's like really like making my mind really think, like, because like we actually see this, like as we're talking about it, like I'm actually, my mind is going back in different times in church and what you see.
No, but the thing about it is, the crazy thing about it is you don't have to go that far back.
No, it's evident right now.
Yeah, it is. That's crazy.
Reflect on the service from this past Sunday.
You know what's so crazy? Being a musician in church, right? We find our place there, right? It's kind of deep. Playing where when you play an instrument in church, it's almost like you kind of find a balance for yourself.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying, it's like...
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It's like, all right.
A musician, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think I might say, that is a musician. That is a form of worship through a musician. It's to play. He doesn't have to get up and dance and play the tambourine and do all those things that may deem him or view him to be feminine. He actually can sit behind his instrument and play it.
Because he's able to use his skill.
Exactly.
And his skill allows him to worship. And build that construction project and see an end result of it.
Okay, we're all musicians on this phone, right? Okay, now check this out. Let me ask you this. How comfortable or uncomfortable do you feel sitting in a church where there are no musicians, or period, just sitting in the church when you are used to actually playing on a weekly basis and you go to a church and you're actually sitting in the pew? How does that make you feel as a musician? As a worshiper in church.
It's almost like you don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah. It's almost like, all right, what you'll do is, it's like, all right, you'll stand up, you'll clap your hands, and you'll try to get everything. But it's like, it's almost like now you have to learn how to praise God differently because you've been praising him from
through your
that
instrument.
Position so long.
Now you've got to learn
so
how
like
to praise
now,
God.
Who am I? How can I express my praise without
and
my
that.
Instrument?
Now,
empty-handed.
Now, just imagine all of the men who are in those same pews who don't play instruments. We feel uncomfortable. Just imagine how much more they feel uncomfortable when they have no place.
Mm. Wow. Mm. That's deep. That's deep. That's deep right there.
Wow, that is. Now, me, I'm a musician. Like, I don't mind dancing. I'll praise God. I'll praise God, right? And I will give God my praise, and I lift my hands up. I say hallelujah, and you know, I praise God. But a lot of times, as being a man, that is not something that just comes easy. I have to fight sometimes and push myself beyond, like, my feelings and my thoughts. To even go there.
So the men that actually don't fight it, and the men that actually, you know, allow their emotions to actually allow their emotions to take over, and they do praise God, and they do show a sign of worship in church. Are those the ones a lot of times we consider to be?
Well, no, I'm not going to say that.
Well, then I'll ask Apostle Lil, because it seems like he's the one who'd be quick to answer that one.
No, because you can't say
Let me say it like this. When I was coming up at the church I grew up in, which is the Spotlight Holy Temple, located at 141 New Road Street, Trenton, New Jersey, where the church was founded by my grandfather, Bishop Joe Green Sykes, I seen the brothers at the church at that church shout and dance and praise God all the time. And you could count. You listen. Now there was a couple of fuddy duddies up in there. There was one or two fuddy duddies that was real undercover, but 98% of the brothers at that church, they were all men. 100% men. They wasn't no homos. They wasn't no sissies. They was men, Doc.
And I mean, when the service got high, Doc, you would see these men, truck drivers, General Motors workers, all kinds of brothers on the floor picking them up, putting them down, Doc. And when they got finished and sat down, they sat down like men. They said hallelujah like a man. It wasn't nothing feminine about these brothers. The thing is, they had a leader. Listen now, they had a leader that didn't mind giving God praise to it. He praised God like a man.
Well, a lot of times that could be the case too. And I can honestly say, I thank God, and I'm not saying that, but the church that I attend, that I go to, and this is no offense to anyone out there, you rarely see a feminine man in the church because the leader is a man and he has that masculine presence.
Mm-hmm.
So a feminine presence normally would not feel comfortable in that atmosphere. And if they did feel comfortable, they would normally move more so to the women in the church and avoid the men.
Okay.
I can, from my experience, from the churches that I go to now and the churches that I grew up in, there were two types of men in church. There was the man that portrayed himself as masculine as he possibly could, and even in his praise, I still do believe, I still think that it was a conscious thing that this man did, very, very conscious thing that these men were doing. And I think even now there are other men inside the church. It's only their femininity is only shown when, in some type of way, they worship. And it doesn't show in any other way. It doesn't show, you know, when they're preaching. It doesn't show when they're, you know, singing, whatever. It only shows when they're dancing, when they're, you know, giving God praise. That's the only time that it's actually shown with me growing up.
Well,
can I ask y'all a question?
Oh,
just a quick question, and I'm going to let Apostle Young go. When is there anywhere in the Bible or in an encyclopedia or in a dictionary or in some scroll by the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, the Jordan River, that says that worship is a slow song?
No.
That's what I was trying to think of when we were talking about worship. Well, no, because they... I mean, what I've been taught.
Can you worship? Is it considered worship if it's not slow?
Well, what I was always taught was worship was a form of lifestyle, not necessarily music driven.
Wow. I'm about to give you an offering, bro. Apostle Young?
Well, I have to allude back to the other segment when Aaron was talking about the men worshiping. I'm a cut this thing down to the nitty gritty. In order for you to give God true worship, I'm talking about true, unadulterated, deep down worship, you have to become vulnerable. And
wow.
In order to be vulnerable, it has to make you tap into a part of your emotions that men do not want to tap into.
Whoa.
And in order for you to be vulnerable, it makes you act in a way that exposes your true feelings.
Yeah.
So let me
your
ask you this question.
Side.
What does vulnerable look like?
It's not a look, that number one.
Mm.
It's not a look. But the thing is, you want to know what makes men scared of being vulnerable? How it makes them look.
Look, that's what I'm saying.
There you go. There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
If you could get past, caring about how people look at you, all right, first of all, if you know you're a man, how nobody views you shouldn't even matter. All right, that's number one.
But Lou, it's going through. If you were standing in church,
it's definitely going to until you get to a place where it don't matter no more.
Especially if I came up to you in church.
That's where
I'm like Apostle Louis Young. When you were standing over there by the organ, man, you looked like your wrist was a little broke.
Well, now you're going from the spiritual realm and making me go into the flesh realm.
No. But
that's true talk. Because if you walk up to me after I just got finished worshiping, praising God, and you couldn't see the fact that I tapped into a realm that I never really tapped into because I lost myself in what I was doing, but all you could see was my wrist looked bent.
No,
you're going to be like, out of my worship and bring me right into my flesh.
But what would get you if I be like, yo, why does your worship and your vulnerability make your wrist break?
Well, it don't make my wrist break.
No, I'm just saying.
But it
like,
do make, it make some brothers, it do make some brothers' wrist break, which is also not just a sign of being feminine, but it's also a sign of being relaxed.
Wow. Yeah.
Well,
wow.
The Bible does say that to be effeminate is sin.
Yeah. Because it goes against who God created you to be.
So, let me ask you this question. Wow. If you're worshiping God truly in spirit and truth, does worshiping God in spirit and truth make a man appear feminine?
No, that ain't what I said now.
No, I'm just asking.
That ain't, what I said. I said to praise and worship God to make you feel vulnerable, it make you appear like you're feminine, or it make a man feel feminine. See, there's a difference.
Wow.
Because you can worship God and still maintain your masculinity, but the feeling, because you're tapping into emotions that you're not accustomed to tapping into, it makes you feel like you're being feminine. But
so how do we embrace that vulnerability?
Let me say this first. All right. When God opened up Adam and took out his rib to create woman, all right, he took all the femininity out of a man except for 10%. He left 10% of the femininity in the man so that he could be able to worship God. But you still only have
feminine. So worship comes from the feminine place?
It comes from a feminine place, Doc. The place of your emotions.
So worship can't come from a masculine place.
We make it masculine by the presentation. But it
so
comes
why
from
is
a feminine
presentation
place.
Of feminine worship. If it's a presentation. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
If we're going to categorize worship, meaning worship, you're saying it comes from a feminine place. Now,
yes.
We're made in the image of God, and if the word says we as men, we should not be feminine. We're made in the image of God. We're, like, God is masculine. Am I correct?
God is both masculine and feminine.
Yeah, but masculine, according in this earth realm, would be considered the head, the leader, like he made that
masculine,
man.
Masculine is always the dominant trait.
So why is it that it appears that worship can't come from the dominant trait? It would come from the less dominant trait, and it seems more genuine
because
when it comes from the feminine place.
You can't be vulnerable from a masculine place. It can't happen.
Wow.
You can't no man be vulnerable in a masculine position. It goes against nature. It can't happen.
Because but am I supposed to be vulnerable?
Being masculine keeps you. Hold on. Being masculine keeps you in a place of defense.
But ain't I always supposed to be from that place? And I'm supposed to watch
you don't.
Pray?
No, you don't. Because guess what? When you being intimate with your wife, you're not being masculine. You being feminine.
Hold up. It all depends.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what. When your wife is talking to you soft and talking to you, and making you feel the way you feel, you ain't being masculine then, brother. You ain't being masculine then because you can't even get in the mood.
This is Dirty Church Radio. It all depends because you could be the type of man that's aggressive, and you're the hunter. You understand what I'm saying? You're the one who.
Listen, Jay, you can't flip that. You got your wife, Doc, you are no longer the hunter. You already captured the prey. So throw that. You can throw that to the side. That ain't gonna work with this here tonight.
No, hold on.
When you was courting your wife, Doc, when you was dating your wife, that's when you was hunting. When you married your wife, you are no longer the hunter because you now have the prey.
All right. I don't believe that to be true because if you stop the pursuit, that's when things die off.
Well, that's your opinion. But
a woman always wants to feel like you are, you know what I'm saying, that you are pursuing her, that you know what I mean? She wants to feel that.
Okay, listen, I'm going to say this again to the listeners, all right? A woman cannot pierce the heart of a man while he's being masculine. He's got the. In order for a man to let his guard down, he has to come out of the mindset of being masculine and get emotional. If he don't, he'll always keep the guard up.
Ooh, he got you, Jay. So a man cannot be. So you have to become.
No, he can't, Jay. No, he can't. No, he can't, Jay.
What you're saying? So a man has to become feminine.
A man has to become vulnerable. That's my whole point. And when a man becomes vulnerable, it might have the appearance or look like he's being feminine. But he's not being feminine. He's being vulnerable.
That was my whole point.
It might appear as if he's being feminine, but he's not being feminine. He's being vulnerable. It just looks like he's being feminine. And it takes a man that's securing himself to be able to identify and distinguish the difference between the two.
Ooh, you better preach.
Yeah, that's a good one.
A real man that's in touch with who he is can care less about how people view him by being vulnerable, especially being vulnerable to a God that he's serving. You can pick your masculinity up after you get what you need from God. And see, that's the problem that men have coming to church, period. Because they're afraid of how their vulnerability is going to make them look when that shouldn't even matter. Because guess what? When I need what I need from God, I'm going to do whatever I got to do. I'm going to look however I got to look to get what I need from God. And I'll take care of the rest once I get what I need from God. So if that means I got to look like I'm being feminine to get what I need from God, well, guess what? I can tolerate looking feminine for 30 minutes to get a permanent blessing.
I can deal with 30 minutes of discomfort
to get a permanent blessing from God.
I have a question.
Okay.
So then what is the sin? Is the sin to look effeminate? Or to be effeminate, or does it matter?
When the Bible says to look effeminate, it's talking about when you walk around all day every day looking like a woman, acting like a woman. You never want to get your hands dirty. You never want to do manly things. That's the look of feminine.
So
it's
only
it's okay to be feminine in spurts.
Okay.
No, I'm not. See, you're taking what I'm saying out of context. Keep it in the context of what I'm saying. And if you keep it in the context of what I'm saying, some brother that's listening to me on his radio tonight might could walk into their deliverance.
Well, I just want to let some listeners know that in no kind of way are we gay bashing or are we saying, you know, are we talking negative in any manner with people who are gay
or feminine.
Yes.
You got some brothers out here that might be listening to us. They might be all men, but they just feminine. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know of somebody that I was related to that people thought he was gay. They thought he was a homosexual, the whole nine. But this brother loved women. But he also loved to cook. He loved to decorate. He loved to do all that stuff. But that brother loved women. He would sit up and talk with you about big butt women, breasts, how women look, but guess what? If you never heard him talk like that, you might think that this brother was feminine. But this brother was one of the most powerful brothers I knew when it came to the kingdom. Did he like to cook? Yup. Did he like to decorate? Yup. He made hats. He did all this other stuff. And he wasn't no masculine roughhouse dude, but this dude was a man.
Yes.
All right, and I'm not ashamed to say it. This brother, and he was dear to me, but he was a man. He might not have played football, might not have played basketball, might not have did things that you might consider manly things, but that brother loved the Lord, and he loved women. Okay, so who's to say he committing a sin? Because if you go by what you see, you would think that brother was effeminate. But if you sat down and talked with that brother will let you know, nah, brother, ain't nothing gay about me. I like women. Now that's coming from a whole nother angle. And I'm a man's man, Doc. Anybody that knows me know I'm a man's man, Doc, to the fullest extent of what I'm saying. But I've come to the conclusion to realize that it is some brothers that have more femininity in them than the average brother. But that don't mean that he ain't no man.
Well, let me ask you this, Apostle Young. And as being an apostle, a man of God on here, and this is Dirty Church Radio where we keep it real, we confront it, and we deal with it. Would you say that being masculine and being a man's man has hindered your praise and worship?
Guess what? To a certain degree, yes. But see, you got to understand something about me. I've never been the type of person that was moved by a whole bunch of dancing and running around the church. That stuff never moved me. Because guess what? If shouting around the church, running around the church, praising God in the dance is going to make me stronger, then guess what? Every chance I got, I would do it. But that praising God like that does not make anybody have any more strength than the person that sits in the chair and praise God by lifting their hands and saying, thank you, Jesus. And see, the problem is we let traditionalism blind us from realism. It don't matter how a person praise God. What matters is that they're praising him. And see, we got so caught up, especially in the black church, we get so caught up in emotionalism. We skip past the realism of God. Because that same person that you never see running around the church, doing cartwheels, snotting and crying, that same person, if they love God, the same amount that you do, they might even beat you into heaven. And that's what we got to start conveying to these brothers that might have a problem with all this emotionalism and this softness in the church. You don't have to be you don't have to be all soft to praise and worship God. It's about being vulnerable. But if you being vulnerable, in order for you to get to that place, make you have to tap into a side of yourself that you rarely want to tap into, then that's the place you got to get past. Because at the end of the day, when you can't tap into a real praise or a real worship mode, you missing out on the realness of God. Because that is where you experience the realness of God, through the worship mode. It ain't even through praise. Because when you go into a praise, you praising God for either for two things: for what he has done or for what he's getting ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the benefit of praise. Praise is giving God thanks for those two things, either for what he's going to do or what he has already done. Worship is something that you do regardless. Worship is more of a requirement than praise is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying praise is not important. But what do you think? What do you think God really wants the most? God wants to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped. We praise God for what he has done. We worship God because he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Period. We worship God. If God don't do nothing else for us, we still are required to worship God. That is something. When you got a relationship with God, okay, let's break this down like this here.
Come on, speak in tongues.
Let's break this down like this here, because it's first natural, then spiritual. If you want to see what God is doing in the spirit, you got to look in the natural. When you are married, imagine being married to a woman, then you've been married and y'all never make love. Y'all just laying
really
in the bed.
Not married.
Y'all just laying in the bed every day, every night. Y'all never get intimate. Y'all never express your love to one another through the forms of making love. Well, imagine how that marriage would be if that's what the case was in your marriage. Well, it's the same thing with God. It is the same identical thing. If you want to know what God is requiring of you in the spirit, start looking at your own relationships in the natural. And if you start doing that and seeing what's required of you in the natural to keep your marriage maintenance, you'll flip that in the spirit and say, this is what is required of me to keep my relationship strong with God. It ain't praise. It is worship. Worship makes you get vulnerable and intimate with God.
Well, let me ask you this question. I got to ask you this one.
Go ahead.
And listen, you know, this is Minister J, man. You know, I be off the chain sometimes, man. Would you say, would it be easier for men to worship God if God was a woman?
Well, guess what? That's a very good question. That's a very good question. But I'm answer that like this. The Bible says that we were made in the image of God, and in his likeness, he created male and female. Now, this was before Adam. I'm talking about before before Adam came on the scene. The Bible says that man was created in the image of God, and in his image, he created male and female. So if he created male and female, that has to mean that God both looks like male and female.
So you know how you were just making the example of a man, you know, making love to his wife, and that's how in worship, you know what I mean, to have that intimacy.
So coming from a man's point of view and his mind, if he's going to worship with that concept, would it kind of be hard for him to think of God as a masculine being?
You're absolutely right, because then it takes a thing that was intended to be pure, and it makes it perverted.
Yeah.
It makes it perverted. That's why when you speak of God, you got to take him out of the male and female gender and make him God. See, we put God in a box when we try to make him a male or a female. God is God. He is I am. So when you put him in the place of I am, that goes beyond male and female.
So that's my whole point of view. If he's I am, right, which he is, why can't worship come from a masculine place?
Well, guess what? What you got to do then, if that's the question, then you have to ask yourself that question. Why can't we worship God from a male perspective? And if we could worship God from a male perspective, don't you think it would be more males in the church worshiping God from a male perspective?
And you know what? And I hate to say this, right? It's crazy. Like, when you look on, let's just say, and this is not a racial statement what I'm about to say, but when you go to, like a white church or, you know, a Caucasian church, and it's a whole bunch of, you know, they have their worshiping services, they have no problem.
Laying out,
you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Crying. Taking their shoes off, you know what I mean, and just totally basking in the atmosphere of it.
Okay, and again, we're not trying to make this a black or white issue, but it's a valid point that Minister Miller brings. And let's bring some validity to the statement. All right. One reason why black males, African American males, have a problem with their masculinity being questioned is because of some of the tactics that was used against us during the times of slavery. When we were brought over here against our will, the first thing that the master did was separate the family. He took the man, took him away from his wife, sold him to a whole other plantation all the way across the country somewhere else. The wife was over there. 9 times out of 10, they tried to keep the wife with the kids and send the male somewhere else. And then what happened? You was beat. You was called less than a man. Even after we was emancipated, we still was called boy, boy, boy. We was treated less than a man was supposed to be treated. Now, in this age, mm-hmm. we're still dealing with the fact of what our forefathers went through in the spirit realm, because our masculinity was stripped from us during the times of slavery. So now, because of that, we've been told through generations that a man is not supposed to cry. A man is supposed to be a man. A man is supposed to deal with what he's supposed to deal with without ever getting emotional. And if you did get emotional, you had to do that in the confines of your own private closet. Because a black man was taught you're less of a man if somebody see you cry. In other words, you never supposed to be seen vulnerable. Never let them see you sweat. That's a slogan that goes against being vulnerable.
Okay.
So because of all this stuff, centuries and centuries and centuries of this thing building, 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 building. Now you got a big, gigantic historical comes to church and he gets this feeling. Now go with me on this. Now, when the spirit get high in the church, all of a sudden the spirit is stirring down on the inside of him. He feeling like he want to cry. He feeling like he want to yell out and say, "Thank you, Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you." But then in the back of his mind, he's feeling like, "Man, you looking like a punk.
You looking like." Feel like he's giving up. He's feeling like he's given up something that he's been stripped of
all along. Years.
So whatever little, and you know what, and the thing that's good about this topic, right, normally if you go to church, this is not a conversation that you will hear.
Oh, no, no.
You're not going to hear this conversation. But many of you in church have thought many thoughts like this. That's why right now, I'm hoping that someone calls in. Whoever may be listening live right now, whoever you are, call in 773-897-6319. Right now, it's just me and Apostle Lewis Young, Minister J. Miller, and Apostle Lewis Young on the line. Brother Aaron, he had to go, you know what I'm saying? And, hey, you know what? My mom just called in. I just seen she just called in. I'm going to ask, see what she got to say, Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
All right.
You been listening to the show?
Yes, I have. And I'm
wow.
I'm listening to the debate, too, you know, by the president and Romney tonight.
Yeah. And you know something?
Yeah.
And the thing about that whole thing right there, even with the debate, Mom.
I know.
Like, I got that on the side.
Me too.
But I got that on the side, right?
Yeah.
But you know what?
And you and Mommy, he keeps like butting in, trying to take all the time. You know?
Yeah. I know what you're saying. But you know what's so deep about that? That's why I wanted to do this show at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I wanted something spiritual taking place the same time this debate was going on.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I didn't want to change the time. I wanted to, you know, keep it the same.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we all paying attention to what's going on with that debate.
All right.
But I'm glad, Mom, that you chose to even include Dirty Church Radio, even in the midst of you watching the debate.
That's right. Yeah, you're my son. So, like, you know, that's
what I'm talking
right
about right there. That,
yeah.
You only get one mother, Doc. And when
you support,
that's important.
Yeah,
and
I love
you very much, and I want you to keep holding on and keep your show going. And God bless you.
Thanks, Mom. I love
you
so much.
I love you, too.
Yeah, that's something right there.
Yeah, man, that just encouraged me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Encouraged, yo. It's nothing, especially to still be able to have a mother to encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I know there's so many listeners out here right now who may have lost your mother or may have gone through things, you know, different things and stuff like that. And I'm going to tell anyone who's out there, man, love on your mother as much as you can, as much as you can. And take her words of encouragement and don't forget it. Write it in your heart with permanent ink. That it never will fade away.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I believe that's a lot. I think right now, a lot of times, even in our churches, we write in the word down in our hearts, but with pencil, where eraser can get it. I believe we need to start using some permanent ink that can't be washed away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying that from a spiritual point. We need to really get it engraved in us. You know what I'm saying? And this topic tonight really has really been interesting. It really has. I think this was a great topic going on tonight, man.
Very,
you know,
great topic. Very great topic, and it's dealing with some deep rooted things that it's not for the faint of heart, Minister Miller, and it takes a brother to get on here and discuss this. That's really in touch with who he is, not just naturally, but spiritually. And it's a topic that's not for the faint of heart. You know what I mean? And, you know, I know when people listen to this here, the rebroadcast of it, when they go online and tap on the Dirty Church, the Dirty Church blog radio show and hear some of these recordings, they're going to sit back and really wish that they would have interjected, chimed in. Because I feel right now that it's a brother listening right now, and you got something you really would like to say. You really agree with what we're saying, but for whatever reason, you're being timid, you're being scared because you really might not have the verbiage to say how you're feeling. But even if you call in and just say, you know, I've been listening to what you brothers were talking about, I think it's a good topic, and you guys should keep the good work going because you're saying exactly what I've been feeling, but I just didn't know how to verbalize it or put it into words.
And
go ahead
even
and
that
pick up
woman,
the phone and call. You know, at least if we get a witness to call in to let us know that you agreeing with, or even if you don't agree with what we're saying, call in and give us your opinion, give us your thought, make a statement.
Call in 773-897-6319. Listen, even to the women, we really want the women to call in. This is not a man's show. This is a show for mankind. So listen, we want women to even give their points and views on this, you know what I mean, on this topic. Why do you think men are staying home? You know what I'm saying? What do you think we can do as in the body of Christ to get men to take their rightful place, to get men to not be afraid to embrace God, like Apostle Louis Young was saying, to be able to not be scared to go to that vulnerable place where you let go of thoughts, ideas, feelings, and you totally give your heart and your mind and lay it before God. And that's something. I mean, that's something,
man,
that is so much needed in this day and time. Maybe we don't know how to. Maybe we really don't know how to. And it was something how Apostle Louis Young, without actually mentioning the title, but how he tapped into the Willie Lynch syndrome.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And you know how the woman, you know, the man was taken out of the home of the woman, right? But he was taken out of the home in front of the woman so the woman can see how weak that her man was. That's what they wanted to do, to break him down in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
To put fear in her, but then she had to gain some type of strength because she had to raise the children. But then she raised the children. She raised the women to be independent, but the men, her sons, to be strong, but mentally insecure.
Mm.
So
come on, man, break
up against master. You know what I mean? Because listen, I gotta protect my son, so I want to raise him to always show respect to master. You know what I mean? And when I say master, I'm not just talking about the white man. I'm talking about the slave master.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually too.
That's right.
Are we raising a church to be a slave master to the devil?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not dealing with issues that we've been covering up with the praise and with the worship. We may have been hiding behind certain things. We have maybe have ran to the altar and asked God for forgiveness, but never went to that individual that we've hurt or that hurt us. So now we're praising God, or we think we're praising God fully, but really there's a dead man attached to our back, and we're carrying him around the whole time. And believe me, if you carry a dead man on your back, eventually that dead corpse will begin to seep through your system. It will infect you. And eventually, if you don't cut him off, what's going to happen? You're going to die. That's why some of us are spiritually dead, but we're walking around here because we think we're walking, but really we're zombies. We're spiritually dead. We're walking, but we need to be resurrected even on foot. We ain't even in the grave. We outside of the grave. We walk with the walking dead that need to be resurrected. And that's, we need to be resurrected from ideas, traditions, customs, bondage,
We need to be delivered from loving the wrong people the wrong way. And when I say loving the people the wrong way, we're loving all the wrong things.
Yeah.
The intentions of it is wrong. You know what I mean? What can we do as men when our wives are going to church praising God and doing all they can and trying to maintain the atmosphere of worship in the house, but they're not the strong man?
Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying? So we really need to really begin to analyze, and we need to start talking. You know, it's a saying on the streets, you know, snitches get stitches, but we need to start talking and not being scared to mention what is affecting us and keeping us stuck from going further. We're being hindered. We're being hindered and trapped in a box. God is bigger than your church that you attend. God is bigger than where we worship at. He's bigger than your perception. You're talking about the God that created the world, the galaxies. Do you hear what I'm saying, Apostle Young?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
The God who, when he said in the beginning, it wasn't even a such thing as the in the beginning until he said in the beginning. That God who created time, and right now we're in time. So in this time, what can we do truly to become the men that God has called us to be? And I'm not talking about according to religion. I'm talking about the exact design that the Creator, the Almighty God, who created everything, what is his true design for us as men and women in this earth realm? It's bigger than what we do on a Sunday morning in church.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. It's bigger than our worship in church. It's bigger than that concept. I believe a lot of us, we only have a church identity, but not a God identity. You know, we only, you know what I'm saying? We only in the church for a couple hours. And we try to become so much within that little time frame. And then once that time frame is over, we're back walking with no identity and lost. We need an identity even without the church building. Because if the church building crumbles and it falls, because a building is made with hands, but we're the church that is spiritual. Can we stand without the building? Who are you without church?
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying, Apostle Young?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Like,
yes,
who
sir.
Are we, man? And I think we've been lost. We've been lost, man, in thinking we found. Because we think because we're in a church service on a Sunday that's being found.
Mm-mm.
It's not being found then, man. And, you know, I know all of us, we have so many different opinions, and we have so many, you know, different ideas. You know, we got all these deep revelations of this word and that word. But listen, man, the bottom line is God is real, and God has set a standard. And regardless of whether we got disagreements about certain issues, we better get it together and complete the assignment. And not let the disagreement get in the way of the assignment and the purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Go ahead, Apostle Young.
Now, when you was talking, when you first got into that thing, and you said some real profound things, Minister Miller. But you know what came to me when you first started talking?
Mm-hmm.
How when the children of Israel got the Ark of the Covenant back and they was bringing it into Jerusalem, the Bible says that David danced in front of the Ark and danced out of his clothes. And after he did that, the Bible said that his wife, who at the time,
time was Saul's daughter. She saw David and how David was acting. And when David entered into the palace, she scolded David and said how foolish he looked out there praising God and dancing, acting the way he was acting, coming out of his clothes. That came to me when you was talking. And that same spirit, and that's why I wish some women would call. How would you really act? How would you really act if you saw your husband really get vulnerable and really praise God to that degree? How would you act? Would you still be able to respect him when he got home? Would you still be able to honor him as the CEO of your household, the man in charge? Would you still be able to do that? Maybe if you reassured him and let him know that you would not lose any respect for his authority by him doing and praising God in that magnitude, maybe it would be a little bit easier for him to feel vulnerable enough to give God praise or to give God some true worship. Maybe that's one of the problems, the same problem that David had to deal with his wife, because he wanted to praise and worship God to the magnitude where he came out of his clothes. Mm-hmm. Would you be embarrassed if your husband praised God to that magnitude? Or would you be happy for him because he done finally got his breakthrough?
Mm.
See, that's the question. These are the kind of questions that we need to be asking, and these are the types of questions that can help some of these brothers that could be halt between the opinion of how he looks and getting his breakthrough.
Listen to this. It was something I was looking for this earlier, and you know how we've been talking about this discussion. Listen to this. He says, the classic example is the worship poise of the eyes shut and the arms raised in tender embrace, singing a song that says, I'm desperate for you, you're the air I breathe. Then it says, guys don't talk to guys like that.
See? Okay. All right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's almost like you have to have a whole breakdown, and I know that's what we're being born, you know, being born again and set free, but it's like
you got to be reprogrammed, man.
Yeah,
you got to be reprogrammed.
And listen to this. It says, one cause he said was women mystics who popularized bridal imagery, the metaphor of an individual Christian as the bride of Christ. The biblical metaphor is of the corporate church as the bride of Christ, not the individual person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy how, you know, you'd be like, all right, I'm in church, or I'm the church now, so I'm a bride, but I'm a man.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And from that concept, it's hard, especially for an unlearned man that's just coming into the church, to really grasp those type of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard. So, and then it could be a shock to his system if it's not mentioned, and he's been gone for a while, and then all of a sudden things like that come out,
mm-hmm,
and are said. Then he's like, hold up. I didn't know it was going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I really wish some women would really call in onto Dirty Church Radio. And you know what? I know tonight is probably a hard night because everyone is watching the debate, but I wish someone just had their earphone on and was watching the debate and call in. Let us be able to hear Barack Obama in the background and Mitt Romney.
talking. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the debate is over, and right now they're just having, they're discussing the actual debate. The analysts are discussing the debate. So, I mean, maybe it is, maybe somebody will call, you know, but all I know is tonight's broadcast, man, is deep. It's deep tonight, man, and all I can say is God bless you for even having the vision to even do this radio show, because I truly believe that it's topics like this here, it's discussions like this here, it's forums like this here that's going to help thousands and thousands of men get their breakthrough. Not just men, women too.
Even on Facebook, I'm making this statement now. If you're on Facebook and you're typing, and there's an issue that's being dealt with, and there are two different opinions and ideas, and you're going back and forth in this issue, not saying that y'all are enemies or y'all against each other, but y'all are expressing your points of views. We want y'all to bring that topic onto Dirty Church Radio. And we're willing to, you whoever you are, you and that individual can join us on the panel, and we can discuss that issue that you may have had or about a topic that you've been typing. We want to hear your voice, and we letting you know that Dirty Church Radio, we can handle it. We're open.
We can handle it. It's,
you know
like
what I'm saying?
Minister Miller said yesterday, there's no topic that's out of bounds. We're going to be talking about everything on Dirty Church Radio. So it's no topic that's going to be taboo on this radio show. We're going to cover everything. We're going to answer the questions, or we're going to ask the questions that millions of people might have been sitting in their living room, sitting at the dining room table and discussing. We're going to bring that stuff to the forefront.
And, like, right now we have about 7 minutes left. And even on tomorrow night, Wednesday night, I want you all to call in tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Our topic is going to be demonic or crazy. What's the difference? What's the difference between being demonic and crazy? Do they need a spirit cast out of them, or do they just need to take some medicine? What's the difference? I want to know if it's that woman who said that. We're going to take it even deeper. The women and people who are killing their kids, and they're saying that it's God telling them to do it. Is it demonic or is it crazy? We're going to talk about some things on this show.
Mm-hmm.
This is Dirty Church Radio. And I want all of you who are praying, who are spiritual, and you believe in God, and you say you have the spirit of discernment, you have the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, you are prophets, and you are true, we want you to call. And you know what? I'll take it even deeper than that. We even want the false prophets to call.
Yeah, call in, please call
in. We want the false prophets to call.
Please.
Like, no one is limited from calling on this show. If you're a devil worshiper, a satanic, whatever, call on the show, because I guarantee you the soil in the dirt that's on Dirty Church Radio, don't let it fool you. It's not a dirt that's filth. It's not a contaminated dirt. It is a dirt that
it's
will
a fertile dirt.
Fertile. It will bring things to life. It will bring things alive. And listen, it will expose.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the seed is planted in this dirt, whatever grow is going to expose. We're going to see what it is, because it's going to grow on here.
Mm-hmm.
In the dirt.
Good ground.
Good ground.
Good ground.
Good ground.
Dirty Church Radio.
Dirty Church Radio. Listen, I hope everyone that was listening, I hope that you would even send comments. Type on the blog. Let us know what you thought about it, whether you liked it or you didn't like it. We don't care. Really, I mean, not saying we don't care, but listen, if you didn't like it, we want you to be true. We don't want you to lie to yourself or lie to us. Tell us if you didn't like this, the show. If you liked it, tell us. But we want to hear from you. We want to hear from the world. I thank God that the show has been growing by the numbers. The listeners, I mean, it's been really growing. And I believe this is something that is needed. I believe that this is something, and it's deeper than just a church or a Christian thing.
Yes, yes.
It's bigger than a Christian thing. Even though I am a Christian, I believe in Christ. He is my Savior. But it's bigger than that. Christ said we shall do even greater works. I believe this is a greater work that is taking place.
Yes. Definitely.
Because it brings everyone into the atmosphere together. And now when we get here, let God do what God going to do. Apostle Young, we got 3 minutes and 45 seconds, man. Talk to us.
Well, I thank God for you, Minister Miller, for even allowing the Lord to even put the vision of this here radio show in your mind, and then for you to pursue it and bring it to fruition. I truly believe that this radio show is going to be the catalyst for breakthrough. It's going to be the catalyst for deliverance. It's going to be the catalyst for insight. It's going to be the catalyst for renewing of minds. And I'm speaking this over the atmosphere, in the atmosphere, you know, because we have to speak those things that be not as though they were. And I'm just believing that every listener that's listening to this radio broadcast, everything that you need, I believe that God is a God that can and will deliver the desires of your heart, whatever they may be, big or small. God is a God that can deliver. He will deliver. And it's through the auspices of a radio station like Dirty Church Radio that I believe a lot of people is going to get exactly what they've been looking for from God. And yes, we open the discussions up to believers as well as non-believers, but let's be real. The premise of this show is about knowledge. The premise of this show is about information. And we want you to get and gather information that's applicable, that you can apply to your life and see what's applied to your life germinate and become fruit and be fruit that can remain. So, you know, I believe that this show is destined to do great things. I believe that this radio broadcast has an anointing on it, an anointing that can bring change and an anointing that can bring difference. Most of all, it has a unificating anointing. And I'm just thankful for being a part. I thank God for you seeing something in me to even want me to be a part of what you're doing. And I believe I can speak for Brother Aaron as well. We don't take what we do on this radio show lightly. It takes dedication. It takes being in the frame of mind to be used by God to say something on the behalf of God to the people of God. So, you know, again, I thank God for the visionary of this radio broadcast. Thank God for the insight that he has. And I just want you to know, brother, I ain't got nothing but real manly love for you, Doc. And I want you to stay encouraged, you know, and just know that God got you right where he has you for a time such as this, man. And I'm thankful to even say that I know you, brother.
Yo, I appreciate that, bro. You don't know how much that means, man. Listen, this is Dirty Church Radio, Minister Jay Miller. We love you with the love of God and the love that we have within our hearts. Be blessed.
Amen.
Apostle Young.
Yes, sir.
We're off the air now, bro, but it's still being recorded. I just want to say,
it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was an awesome show. Awesome show, man. I mean, I don't even have the words to express how, you know, man, it was just awesome. Even though we might not have received the calls that we wanted, I believe that the people that might tune in and tap in and listen to the show after we even get off the air, man, you know, I believe that they're going to be touched by the radio show on tonight, man. It was awesome. Very, very awesome show.
Wow. It was, man. Listen, I'm going to leave right just with that. Normally we do a little bonus, you know, round off the air. But tonight's show, I just want to just leave it what it is, man, you know. And whatever it did, it's going to make someone think some type of thought.
That's
whether
right.
Whether it be negative or positive.
That's right.
Whatever you do, when you tune in here, you're going to think something.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So, listen, Apostle Young, I appreciate you, man. I thank you for the words of encouragement. And I want you to also be encouraged, man, that, you know, God is not finished doing what he's going to do for you. And by you even sharing your time on this show and helping, that at the same time you're helping open this door, there are other doors opening for you.
I receive that, man. I receive that, and no doubt I believe what you're saying, and I know God is working on my behalf, and the best is yet to come for both of us. God got some great things for us. All we got to do is stay in the vein of God and keep seeking after the mind of God, because that's where you're going to find everything that you need to fulfill the purpose. Everything you need, you're going to find right where you at. Just keep looking.
Wow.
And my prayer is that God, every door that needs to be opened, he open it, and every door that needs to be shut, he shuts it. Because if God is opening and shutting it, ain't nothing really we could do about it anyway. So that's my prayer. I want the will of God to be made manifest in my life, and that should be all of our prayer. I don't want nothing less than the will of God.
Nothing less than the will of God. I like that, man. I like that. Well, listen, we're going to end the show, but I like to end the show the way I started the show, and that's letting everyone know that you mean something, you are valuable.
Yes.
You have a worth, and right now you may look like you're covered in issues and covered in circumstances. You may be covered in failures and mistakes. But I guarantee you, in the hands of God, when he gets finished moving his hands on your life,
yes,
he will present you as the treasure that you are. God bless you all. Seems to get more than a chance I take.
believe.